Finding a gift for a wine lover can be like those dreams where you show up at work naked. What you think you need to know can feel entirely overwhelming. Well, rescue is at hand. Imagine a white knight on his horse galloping in with a banner streaming behind, "The perfect wine for you." Our white knight is executive wine editor of Food & Wine magazine, Ray Isle. Ray, welcome back.
Thanks for that. I've never been compared to a white knight before. I like that.
Hey, this is your new title. So you did a piece on classic wines. How do you define a classic wine?
Well, for me, classic wines are wines which kind of define a region or a place that are emblematic of it. So, you know, a wine that if you taste this wine, if you drink it, you'll have a real sense of, you know, what it means when someone says Oregon, you know, Willamette Valley Pinot Noir, or mm-hmm. what it means when someone mm-hmm. says, you know, Champagne. So not the kind of outliers, but the really central wines of a region.
So can you pick maybe just a handful of wines that you would say represent the classics?
Absolutely. I can pick several handfuls, in fact, but I'll hold it back to three or four. And that way we'll cover, you know, a couple of whites, a couple of reds, and get a sense of the regions around the world as well. And I would start with Champagne. I do think, you know, that there are few occasions on which Champagne is not a good thing to be opening. And, you know, Champagne technically comes from the Champagne region in France. And the one I chose for the article, which is one of my favorites as a kind of basic Brut Champagne, is the Paul Roger Brut Reserve Champagne. That's, you know, suggested prices around $45, but mm-hmm. realistically, this time of year, you'll start to see deals. And I like the Paul Roger because it's so classically Champagne. It's crisp. It's got, you know, a little bit of creaminess, kind of that slightly toasty, creamy character that good Champagne has. It's still a family-owned company, which is kind of a nice, an unusual thing in the larger brands of Champagne these days. And again, it's one of those wines you pop the cork, you pour a glass, you taste it, and if you had any doubt about what Champagne was, this will, you know, this mm-hmm. this gives you mm-hmm. that sense. And then another white wine, I included a couple of classics that I think of as being new classics in a sense, and one of which is an Australian Riesling, because people tend to think of Riesling as being sweet and slightly cloying, yeah. and Australian Rieslings are dry and crisp and almost racy. They've got a real mineral kind of streak to them. And the one I picked was a Grosset Polish Hill Riesling. Jeff Grosset is one of the defining Riesling winemakers in Australia. And Polish Hill is this vineyard in Clare Valley in Australia that produces just fabulous Rieslings. And that's also in the sort of $40 range. There are a lot of more affordable, terrific Australian Rieslings, too, that I, you know, urge people to go out and try, because if they have the sense of Riesling as being this sweet wine, these will completely change their perspective on it. And then, you know, I thought classic doesn't necessarily have to mean expensive. In this case, one I chose is Penfold's Koonunga Hill Shiraz Cabernet, which is, to me, just definingly classic, affordable Australian red. You know, it's $12 a bottle. It's juicy. It's got a lot of blackberry spicy flavor. And it's, you know, it's perfect barbecue wine. It's perfect winter wine with stews and things mm-hmm. like that. And it's, you know, it's affordable. It's not, it doesn't claim to be a wine that's going to, you know, age for 40 years in your cellar. It's not, you know, going to overwhelm you with complexity, but it will impress you with deliciousness, which for $12 is a good thing.
Yeah. But what about the United States?
I mean, the U.S. has become, you know, an incredible wine region over the past, you know, century or so. And one of the up-and-coming regions I like is Oregon, the Willamette Valley, particularly for Pinot Noir. And Pinot Noir is very popular these days. And Oregon Pinot Noirs tend to be a little more streamlined, a little spicier than the sort of California ones. They're not to the point of Burgundy, but they're a kind of interesting mid-range between California and Burgundy. And one of the ones I like best, which I do feel is a kind of defining Oregon Pinot, is Irie Vineyard's, their estate Pinot Noir. It's about $29, give or take. And David Lett, who founded Irie and who passed away, you know, last year, was one of the, you know, he planted the first Chardonnay and Pinot Noir vines in the Willamette Valley and was a hugely significant person in that wine region. And it's still a fantastic Pinot. And it's, I mean, it's one of those nice wines that's, you know, under $30 that is delicious to drink now, but also could be put in a cellar and aged for a while. So it's a great gift as well. And that to me is kind of what I mean by classic. Again, it gives you that whole sense of what Oregon Pinot can be and is, and at the same time, you know, it's distinctive unto itself.
Oh, this sounds great. Ray, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Ray Isle is executive wine editor at Food & Wine magazine. You can find his classic wine suggestions on the website, splendidtable.org.